Here we go. So we left off last time. We had just discussed 2 weeks ago. We had discussed the question of the yayin of Kiddush and the yayin before the meal, pottering the yayin in the meal, and we paskin like Tosfos that since the yayin before the meal is for the purposes of shisia, it's lishtos, and the yayin within the meal, David has suggested perhaps some qualifications for that, but at least midina the Gemara, the wine during the meal is lishros. Therefore, lishtos is a higher form of drinking and has the power to exempt wine that is only drunk lishtos. And Tosa says, we don't have lachar asuda, so you don't have to worry about it. So basically, if you intend to drink, the first bar priya gafen is going to pot through everything that follows, with the exception of the bar priya gafen after benching as the kosher bracha, which there was a sheet in the Gemara, Ravashi and Psachim, who says that, but we don't accept that. We assume that the yayin that's after berachas amazon, berachas amazon, is by definition a hard stop, and therefore that too would require its own bracha. So now we're up to the Gemara on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, and the Gemara here is going to explain, try to understand what was Beis Shammai Shita. So if you remember the Mishnah, go back to the Mishnah, it's been a while. The Mishnah had said, Berech ala parperesh shalafnei amazon, patras aperesh shalachar amazon. Fine, that's not novel. So that makes sense. If you make a bracha on the bread, you exempt all the condiments that go with the bread. Or the, I would say not condiments, but let's say you have a little, I don't know, I must say herring on your bread. You have some stuff with you have hors d'oeuvres with your bread. So those things are exempted by the bread. But if you make a bracha on the parperes, it's not poteres apas. So Rashi had said a parperes are things like fish or something like that. Fish, chicken wings. Tosos didn't like that because it's, and it'll become more apparent, I think, why now, but it's very odd to say that if you make a bracha on the parperes, you don't exempt the pas. Of course you don't exempt the pas. I made a shehakol on my chicken wings, and now you're going to tell me that the pas is exempt. Now, it would be along the lines, the reason why you think that is maybe, again, it wasn't true for them. For us, you would think that the chicken wings are the ikar. Okay, you have a little bread to clean your palate or something, or, you know, to add a little bit more. But Tosfos, for that reason, rejects Rashi and says, no, Parperes has something with Chameshes Mine Dagon in it. And that's why at least there's a momentary, fleeting Hava Mina, that since you're making a Mizonos on the Parperes, because it has flour or something, it's some type of a bread-like thing. Therefore, maybe even says something maybe possible to Kisnin. So if that's the case, you would have thought, maybe the bracha on the parperes will exempt the bracha on the bread. So Mishnah is telling you no, that the bread is ikar, the parperes is a tafel, or the parperes is part of the suda, but certainly it doesn't have the power to exempt the pas. Then the Mishnah says that Berech Beishamai Omrim Af Lo Masei Kedera. Beishamai says it doesn't even do Masei Kedera. So the question, totally unclear, where's the Mishnah talking about Masei Kedera? We're talking about parperes and pas and parperes. So Beis Shammai is obviously coming to add to one of these two clauses and say that while you might think that something is exempt, whatever it is doesn't exempt Masei Kedera. So the Gemara is going to present two possibilities now. So the Gemara says, Ibayilahu, it's three lines before they get wide. Ibayilahu, Beis Shammai Aresha Pligi or Doma Seifa Pligi. So how does this work and how does this play out? So Aresha Pligi, if you want to understand, they were arguing on the ratio. The Ka'amar Tana Kama, Berech Halapas, Pateres Parperes. The Tana Kama said that if you make a bracha on the bread, you exempt the Parperes. The Kol Shekein Masei Kedera. And certainly Masei Kedera, because Masei Kedera is bread by another name, right? Porridge is bread by another name, because instead of eating in the bread form, you eat it in the stew form. However, parperes is something which is, I mean, it might be a condiment, it might be an addition, it might be pasa baba kisnin, so it's not really ikar of the mazon, it's kind of something that you have on the side. So the Tanakhama said that if you make a bracha on the bread, you exempt the parperes, and it's a kavachome that the bracha on the bread exempts the porridge, it exempts the masa kedera, because of course it exempts the masa kedera. Masa kedera is basically bread. Then the Asi Beis Shammai and the Meimah Beis Shammai comes along, and remember Beis Shammai said not Masei Kedera. Now it means that the bracha of Hamotzi, the bracha on the bread, doesn't exempt Masei Kedera. But if you're going to say that, if it doesn't exempt Masei Kedera, it certainly doesn't exempt the Parperes, because Masei Kedera is like bread. Yes, I think that there's a tradition somewhere. It must be Rav Yirmiyahu who says it. I think in Bavel, maybe there were some people who would put some porridge on their bread. And Rav Yirmiya, I think, is the one who said, Hani Bavle Tipshai, these stupid Babylonians, the Achle Nahama Benama, they eat a bread sandwich, bread on bread. So it wasn't bread on bread, it was porridge on bread. It was Masa Kedera with Lechem. What's the point? It's duplicating it. So the point here is that if Beis Shammai says that the bracha on pas doesn't exempt Masa Kedera, then obviously they also hold that it doesn't exempt Parperis. So this is the way you read Beis Shammai. The Asi Beis Shammai Lamema on the first wide line. Lo mi boy Parperis de lo pratra lo hu pas. Not only the Tanakhama said pas is poter Parperis, and it certainly exempts Masa Kedera. And Beis Shammai says not only does the pas not exempt the Parperis, el afin la Masa Kedera nami lo pratra. That would be to read Beis Shammai on the Resha. Then, the Odoma Aseva Pligi. Maybe you read Beis Shammai on the second half of the Mishnah. The Katani Berech Ala Parperes Lo Patar Asapas. That the Tanakhama said that if you make a bracha on this Parperes, let's call it I'm going to call it dessert bread, but let's say for Tosis it's some type of dessert bread, you don't exempt the main bread. Right? Presumably you make a mezonos on the dessert bread, but it doesn't exempt the actual bread. So the inference from the Mishnah is that pasu de lo patar, avol masei kedera patar. It doesn't exempt the bread, but it does exempt the porridge. It does exempt the masei kedera. V'asu beisham, why? Because, let's say they're both mezonos, even though they don't have exactly the same function.
The even asu, though you weren't thinking about
eating it at the same time. You're making my life difficult, Larry. I'm going to answer you the following. No, that's your job. My assumption is we're going to say that it's not that you didn't have explicit das, but the question is how close are the functions of the two? In other words, you can eat what they brought, but in the same way that lishtos and lishros doesn't exempt lishtos, so the question is parperes of mizonos, is that so far apart from porridge. They're both kind of flour. They're both mizonos. They both might come with the meal, although masa kedera, the porridge, is really much more of a meal. So nonetheless, even though the pasa babakistan of the parperes cannot exempt the real pas, masa kedera it can exempt. The porridge it can exempt. That was the Tanakhama's position. And v'asu beishamay lememar afinu masa kedera nami lo pater. Beishamay says, no, you know what? The bread doesn't even the pasa babakistan, this parperes, this like dessert bread, doesn't even exempt the porridge. Of course, it doesn't exempt the real bread. That even the Tanakhama agrees. It doesn't even exempt the porridge. And we'll say Beis Shammai's far is not hard to understand based upon what we just said, which is one of them is kind of it's a dessert like. It's not really the main part of the meal. The other one's the main part of the meal. Okay. It is kind of interesting that the Gemara chooses to explore in some detail relative to Beis Shammai's position, given that we don't paskin that way. Usually, the Gemara assumes, if a Tana explains if a later Tana in the Mishnah explains what Beis Shammai said, the Gemara will usually ask, and so and so Beis Shammai asal ashminan, he's coming to explain what Beis Shammai's opinion was. Like, who cares? We don't paskin like Beis Shammai, so why do we really care to elaborate on that shita? And methodologically speaking, this is a method that the Rishonim sometimes use to determine how we rule halachically, what our psak halacha is. They will look at if the Gemara is particularly preoccupied with the shita, then sometimes they'll say the fact that the Gemara goes into it means that we actually hold that way. Okay. Fine.
This is like such a dangling money. This is...
Right, so part of this is that there's such a huge degree of ambiguity. What are they talking about?
Right.
It's more surprising that Gemara doesn't ask the question, Masei Kedera, Man Dechar Shemei. Like, who mentioned Masei Kedera? The Tanakhama wasn't talking about it. They were talking about Pas. They were talking about Parperis. And Beis Shammai all of a sudden starts talking about Aflo Masei Kedera. Yeah, that may be why.
Could some of these be where there's something left out or...
You mean a textual omission
yeah.
Mishnah?
Yeah, not like
so, the answer is yes. The Gemara often, when it will say, when you'll have somebody addressing some, this, I almost had the Gemara said, who's talking about Masa Kedera? The Gemara might have said, Chasur Mechasri V'Hachi Tachanit. Tanakhama said something about Masa Kedera. That line fell out of the Mishnah, and that's what Beis Shammai was addressing. But here, I think that the Gemara assumes that once we're talking about Pas, Parperes, and then Beis Shammai throws a Masa Kedera, it's obviously somehow a reference to drawing the line in a certain place. I think that's really why the Gemara doesn't go and just say, well, who was talking about Masa Kedir, but that Beis Shammai says something about Masa Kedir.
Why does the Gemara have to assume that Beis Shammai is arguing on the Tanna Kamma? It seems like Beis Shammai is just extending the Tanna Kamma.
That's a good question. So you're really raising the larger question that when a Tana chimes in, to what extent are we willing to say that they are qualifying as opposed to arguing? Now, what I will say is I think that the default assumption of the Gemara is that they argue. There's one Tana who serves as an unusual exception to this rule. I believe there's a machlokes as to what Rabbi Yochanan said about this. But Rabbi Yochanan either said, whenever Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, said, Amosai, he's not coming to argue. I may have this backwards, but he's coming to qualify. There are two qualifiers that Rabbi Yehuda often uses. And I believe that Rabbi Yochanan's klal is a response to the literary phenomenon of Rabbi Yehuda always being the one who either says, Bamedvar Mamurim, when are these words said, meaning when does this last thing that was said apply? Or Amasai, which is the exact same thing, it's just a different word. So one tradition, I believe, has that in both cases, Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yehuda is not coming to argue, he's coming to qualify. And then there's a different version of Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says, Machlokes Amoraim is to what Rabbi Yochanan said, which is one of those two, is to qualify, one of them is to argue. But I think that we usually assume, by default, that with the exception of Rabbi Yehuda, and again, most of them tend to be Rabbi Yehuda, they're coming to argue unless we have a compelling reason to think otherwise.
Just to take it one step further, how do we know when somebody's qualifying something and not arguing?
But the possibility has to exist. Like David's point here is that the Tanna Kamma didn't discuss Masa Kedira, so the simplest thing would have been to say the following. It would have been probably to put it on the Seifa and say that if you make a bracha on the, if you make a bracha on the, maybe it's the same on both. If you make a bracha on the Parperes, that is the Seifa. If you make a bracha on the Parperes, you don't exempt the Pas. And they didn't talk about, will a bracha on the Parperes exempt the Masa Kedera? And Beis Shammai tells you, by the way, aflo Masa Kedera. So the Gemara could have, this is a case where there's no explicit argument. You could have offered it as a qualifier. I don't believe that, I can see where the letter is, we paskin, that Parperes, bracha on the Parperes does exempt the Masa Kedera against Beis Shammai. They assume it's not an argument. They assume it's not a qualifier that Beis Shammai is actually arguing.
But everybody agrees that Masa Kedera is a type of pas, not a type of parparas.
It is most certainly close. Correct. Yeah. And as when one of the very interesting things we learned about this a while ago, but I'm doing this in Shir and YU now, doing the sugya of rice, and one of the things Rabbeinu Yonah says, and we pask in this way, is that, I always give the example, if I got this, my wife, in fact, this came up yesterday, and my wife said, you're telling me you're not making mazonos on this? I said, no, I don't make a mazonos on it. She makes a barley salad, often for Tu B'Shvat, not only for Tu B'Shvat, where she cooks the barley, and it doesn't mush, it's not cut up, it's just the whole kernels. Individual grains. So I used to think, oh, it's mazonos. It's not. It's Hadama. The only grain, Rabbeinu Yonah claims, and the Shulchan Aruch follows this, the only grain that, even if the grains remain intact, you still make a mezonos on, is rice. All of the other ones, well, meaning wheat and barley, you only make a mezonos on it if either you chop it up first, and that because when the Gemara lists, there's a braisa on Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph that lists what is considered Masei Kedera. Now, what is Masei Kedera? So it talks about, basically, it mentions four things in rice. The four things are wheat split into two, wheat split into three, wheat split into four, and wheat split into five. And those are not the names, there are names for each of them. Right. So the question, and then it says ores, and rice. So from that, Rabbeinu Yonah infers that in order to be Masei Kedera, which gets a mizonos, if it's wheat, and I presume any of the other grains, that's what the Rishonim assume, it has to be crushed in some form. If it dissolves also, if it's nimoach, we accept that as well. I would make mizonos on a barley shillin, which has barley in it.
If it's mashed together?
So that's the same thing. But as long as the grains stand whole separately, readily distinguishable, so then rice is the only situation that's called masa kedera, make mizonos. But you see from
that's
that...
what it's called masa kedera.
What's that?
Which is paradoxical because the bracha achrona is the
Right. It's not, so that's its own problem. That's its own problem. But putting that aside, what that means is that for the Chamesha Semina Dagan, all the other, basically all other grains, and there are, again, we discussed this a long time ago, there are many opinions in Rishonim that believe that millet, and probably if you ate corn, you know, let's say probably in a Mexican culture where corn might be the main part of the meal, corn, millet, any of the cereal grains would be mizonos. And if it's not the five species, not wheat or barley and their cousins, it would be bar nefashos afterwards. And, but in other words, there are most Rishonim, even though the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that, most Rishonim say that way. So there we would also, and Rabbeinu Yonah amongst them, Rabbeinu Yonah would say, but only rice, the brisa doesn't talk about the other kinds because most people weren't eating them, but only rice, that is the only grain that if it stands whole, then you would make a mizonos. So therefore, although I think also we don't usually eat this as the main meal, if you have cornmeal made into something and corn tacos, and that was the majority of the ingredients, so according to Rabbeinu Yonah, you would make mizonos on it. But if you're eating corn on the cob, then you would make chadama on it. Because there, the kernels stand alone. And also, you don't, people don't eat corn on the cob as a meal because you can't get enough corn fast enough to fill you. But you see that masa kedera is not just an ingredient, it's a way you eat something, right? Why should we distinguish between the barley whole versus I crush it up? The answer is because crushing it up is a form of processing, not so different than grinding it up and baking it into bread. So therefore, what you're looking at here, and again, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, millet bread and rice bread is mizonos. In other words, if you make it into bread, it's mizonos. Although, unless it's chamesh esmini dagan, then you make hamotzi. That's real bread. But you see from that masa kedera is in effect a way of processing the grain, just like making bread is, except for masa kedera, it's mizonos. Bread has its own special bracha of hamotzi lechem and aretz. But that's why you come to this sugya. It's relevant to think about that masa kedera and pas and actual bread have a very very similar din, which is why the Tanakhama, which is why you might distinguish between a bracha. You might say that a bracha on the parperes doesn't exempt. Why Beishamai would say bracha on the parperes doesn't exempt the porridge, doesn't exempt the masa kedera, in the same way it doesn't exempt bread, because masa kedera is a kind of bread. It's a lower level form of bread. So ultimately, Tanakhama says no, even though it's a lower level form of bread, nonetheless, they're both mizonos. A mizonos on the parperes exempts the mizonos on the porridge. Okay. Fine.
Is there a distinction between the way it's cooked and the way it's eaten? So, for example, if you cook it individually, but you have it in your plate, and you mash it up with your fork, is it focused on the way you cook? We can go on to the next one.
I don't know. My instincts tell me that it's how it's cooked. Not how you eat it, but I don't know. I have to see if that issue is discussed. All the cases that come up, again, it may be they're just not thinking about that, but it's really in the cooking process if it kind of mushes or the like, not on your plate. That raises a fascinating question, which is not impossible. I mean, this is sort of one of these meta topics. Two people eating the same food at the table, but one of them mashes it with his fork and makes one bracha, and one of them doesn't, makes a different bracha. There was a sugya earlier in the perek about eating shemen, drinking shemen when you make a bari pri ha'etz. And the Gemara works out that it only, if you drink the shemen straight, you don't make a bracha, most Rishonim say, at all, because it's damaging. Damaging to you, damaging to the oil. If you eat it with bread, you don't make a bracha, a bari pri ha'etz on the shemen, because it's tafel to the bread. So the Gemara comes up with a case where you're drinking it for refuah, and it's mixed in with other vegetable broth. And in that case, when you're using it for refuah purposes to coat your throat, so then the shemen is the primary food, and then you make ha'etz on it. Because they know, Shmuel said you make ha'etz on shemen zayis, on olive oil, and the Gemara's trying to figure out, when would you ever make a bracha on olive oil? So the Gemara says, if you drink for refuah purposes. Now, the braisa that happens to quote the din of refuah is by Shabbos, because it talks about what you're allowed to do on Shabbos, or what you can't do on Shabbos, because on Shabbos, you know, for someone who's not really sick, they're just a little bit uncomfortable, you're not allowed to do things that are for refuah. So they talk about using, how do you deal with the shemen and the anigron, which is the mixture on Shabbos. So one of the Gaonim says that when you eat anigron on Shabbos for refuah, you make bari pri ha'etz. During the week, you make a shahakol. So the Rashba says, don't misunderstand this, a bracha on the food is never different between Shabbos and during the week. Right? You don't make a distinction between Shabbos during the week. Right? He just explains that it just may determine the way you did it indicates why you really did it. But in principle, the bracha on Shabbos is the same as during the week. So this is one example where we talk about the bracha doesn't change from circumstance A to B on the same food. So I find, again, it's not identical, we might distinguish, but I think that once it reaches the table in that state, that's the bracha is kovei. The fact that I mush the barley together now, say, I got a mixture, I don't think so. But I'm not 100% sure. Okay. All right, so now let's go on. Back to a topic that we first touched upon. I don't think we read the Tosus on the first Amud, so we're going to go back to it. But the Mishnah had said the following. According to the Mishnah, if you want, and we're only talking about bread right now. Bread is the only food under discussion. If we decide, the shear decides to go together to eat, if we come together, we sit down and we eat bread, even if we're sharing for one loaf in the middle of the table, according to the Mishnah, we're all sitting around, everybody makes their own hamotzi, and Tosa says it's the same for bracha achrona, there is no zimun. Now, I know that's going to rock our worlds, because what do you mean there's no zimun? This is always how we would have zimun. But the Mishnah says you have to do haseba, so we're going to have to ask the staff to make sure for next week, instead of having chairs here, we're all going to have couches, everybody's going to recline, then we'll serve the bread, and we will make one hamotzi, one person will be honored with making hamotzi, one person will lead the bench and bench for everybody, that's the zimun, because you need haseba. That's what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said, if you sit, yashvu, everybody makes their own bracha, that's both before and after. Now, don't jump to any conclusions yet, because that's not actually what we do, but that is what the Mishnah says. Now, the Gemara, so you might think that haseba, which, by the way, I'm pretty certain was probably a practice that only came about first in Roman times. You might have thought that haseba, the idea that you're only together as a group if you are reclining on beds, so that idea, by definition, could only come about in an era in which people actually reclined on beds when they ate at fancy meals. But we'll see that the question you have to ask is the following. The Mishnah's rule that in order to one person to make a bracha, in other words, in order for a group to gel into one, here, Isaac, you sit down, so you sit in chairs, you're each separate grains of rice. But if you all recline, now you're one big mush. We have a tzirah.
Wait, does the reclining make you a group?
Well, that's what the Mishnah says.
But if one is reclining and one is not,
well, correct. The person who wasn't reclining wouldn't be part of the group. That would be correct.
But that doesn't address when no one's reclining.
Correct. And well, if no one's reclining, the assumption would be there's no group. That's what the Mishnah said.
Not reclining, there's a group.
No, hold on. So the Mishnah didn't say that. The Mishnah said, Yashvu, kol echad v'echad mevarech la'atzmo. Everyone makes their own bracha. Hesebu, if they sit around, but hesebu doesn't mean to sit around, it means to recline. Then one person makes the bracha for everybody. And right now, we're only talking about bread. The Gemara on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, the next page, is going to talk about what about other foods? What about wine? And then from there to other foods. So the Gemara says on the fourth wide line, right, the two dots, Hayu Yoshun kol echad ve'echad v'chule. So now the Gemara makes an inference from the Mishnah, which is pretty obvious. Heisebu in, lo heisebu lo. Can we conclude from the Mishnah that the only way one person can make a bracha for everybody, and as Tosa said, the only way you can have a zimun after for benching is if you did haseba. But if you didn't do haseba, no matter how you ate, there will be no bracha. No communal joint bracha. If you're a minhu, but we have a contradictory statement. Asara shahayu holchem baderech. If 10 people were traveling, afal pisha kulav ochlem mikikar echad, even though they're all eating from the same loaf of bread, kol echad ve'echad mevarech le'atzma. Each person makes their own bracha. Yashvu lechol, but if they sit down to eat, afal pisha kol echad ve'echad ochel mikikaro, afal pisha kol echad ve'echad ochel mikikaro, echad mevarech lechulam. But if they sit down to eat, the travelers, even if everybody's eating their own loaf, nonetheless, even so, then one person makes the bracha for everybody. Katani, the Braisa says, Yashu afal pisha lo hesebu. So you see that heseba, that reclining on beds, is not an absolute requirement for creating a combination, for creating a tziruf. So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak kegon da amre nezel v'nechol lachma beduch plan. That is true when they said, let us go and let us eat bread in such and such a place. Duchplan is duchta ploni. In X place. So that's what the Gemara says. So Haseba is not an absolute requirement. If we say, okay, everybody, next Sunday morning, bring your loaf of bread, we're going to sit around this table and eat, so then one person would make the hamotzi, and one person would lead the benching with a zimun. Okay. Now the Gemara tells the following story. Kinoch nafshei de Rav. When Rav died, azalu talmidav basrei, they went after the Aron. They followed the Aron. I don't know where Rav was buried. Ki hadre, when they returned, amre nezo v'necho lachma anahar danik. Let's go eat bread on such and such a riverbank. Basar de karche, apparently they ate first without thinking about it. Maybe they each started eating their own bread, not at the exact same time. After they were korech, yasvi came to time to bench, yasvi v'kami bai lehu. They then asked themselves the question, Hesebu dafka tanan? Avo yashru lo? Does it mean you must do Haseba in order to have Zimun? And otherwise, there cannot be any combination, even if you sat. Olo, O Dilma, Kevan da Amre Nezo Venecho Rifta Biduchta Panisa, Ki Hesebu Dami. Maybe if they beforehand designated the place they would eat, that's like sitting down, reclining with beds. Lo hava biyadayu. They didn't know the answer to the question. Come Rav Ada Bar Ada. Rav Ada Bar Abba stood up, because when you do kriya, when you tear over a dead person, which would include over one's Rebbe, one has to do kriya standing. If you do, it has to be kriya, has to be done me'umet, me'umat. You have to be standing up. So he stood up. Ahadar kari lachore, he was wearing still the torn garment that he had torn over Rav's death, turned the garment around, the kara kriyach rina. He tore again. Amar noch nashe the Rav birchas mesona lo gamrina. Rav has died, and we didn't even learn the basic laws of birchas amazon. Right? He was mourning over not just now Rav's death and now the loss of Rav's Torah. Ad asa hahu saba, until they were sitting there, I guess knowing not knowing what to do, until some saba, some older person, came along to their gathering. Rama lahu masnisa na braisa. He pointed out the contradiction between our Mishnah and our braisa that the Gemara quoted before. Vishani lahu, and he answered for them. Kevin da amri nezo v'necha lachma dubuchplan kesei budami. The answer to their question was the contradiction that Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak had resolved. So apparently this was a story earlier. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak is fourth generation, is a contemporary, I think, of Rabban Abaye. But earlier the Gemara records a story after Rav's death. His students didn't know the answer until some Zaken came along, pointed out the contradiction, and offered the resolution that ultimately Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak would offer, that Hesebu is not an exact requirement. So that's nice. And what that would suggest, and which is really true, the Rishonim will say, is that a balabayas al shulchano, not necessarily here, but if we have a communal meal, the communal meal is scheduled for Friday night, December X, everybody knows that, they all come together, even if they don't recline on beds, according to the Gemara, you'd have to do Birchas Hazimah. Or, in your house, we're sitting down to eat, you know, at the Pollux, and even if they didn't invite the guests, their family members or their children are there, so we understand, this is dinner time, you come together, the Balabayis is Koveya everybody, and that would be enough to make the Zimun, as long as, even though they're not reclining on beds. The cake. What's that? Yes, by bread, the din is the same both by bracha rishon and bracha achrona. When you have a tzira, when you have a combination, coming together by bread, one person makes hamotzi, one person benches for everybody. And I want to emphasize, we'll see this again, and we'll see this explicitly at the beginning of the seventh perek. Excuse me, when we get there, is that a zimun when you bench? Let me step back for a moment. If, let's say, I'm sitting with someone who doesn't know how to bench. So if the two of us know how to bench, and it's only two of us who ate, we each are supposed to make our own berchas hamazon. We don't say that one of us will bench, and the other one will be yotzei by listening, through what we call shomei ha'kaona. If, however, one of us doesn't know how to bench, So the Gemara says that the sofer, which means the Talmud Chacham, is mevarech, and the Amah Oretz will listen. He does not bench. But that is not the same thing as Zimun. If we are making a Zimun and I am benching, it's not that I am benching and I am being motzi you, but like you hear me make a bracha, you yotze. No. The Zimun means I am benching for everybody. It is everybody's bracha. It's not my bracha that you're yotze with. I am the one who is voicing the words. It is as if every one of us together had benched, which is why in the ideal form, which we don't do for a good reason, when you have a Zimun, nobody is supposed to say anything other than in the first bracha. You respond, and then the person who's leading the Zimun benches the entire thing out loud, and everybody answers just Amen. That's it. We don't do that. It's not common practice because we're afraid people are not going to be paying attention. Can't imagine that happening. And therefore, it's better for everybody to bench because they weren't always going to be paying attention to the entire Birkas HaMazon of the Mezamein. But in principle, the way Zimun is supposed to work is the Mezamein is the only one who says any of the, you know, four brachos, starting with Hazanas Olam. Everybody else listens because it's not Shemei Ka'oneh, it's Birkas Kulam. Whereas if you don't know how to bench, or I don't know how to bench, and one of us is benching for the other, that's Shemei Ka'oneh. That's your bracha, and I'm fulfilling my obligation with it, but it's not our bracha.
Does it matter if you miss the Amen?
The halacha is no. By any bracha, you have to be yotze. If you listen with the intent to be yotze, and the person saying it has the intent to be motzi you, Amen is not, does not make.
Okay, so then if you're benching, though, you can't really listen.
Well, correct, because you're doing your own benching at that point. That's the point. In other words, ideally, you wouldn't say a word. All you would say is Amen. Because even if you're yotze without it, you still answer Amen. But you wouldn't say a word. You would not bench. I would bench. Everybody is not to be yotze with my bench, not just fulfilling their obligation, but it is their bracha. I'm just the one who's uttering the words.
If I do my own benching,
then you're not listening to me. So I'm benching for myself. You're benching for yourself.
When did it change?
I don't know. I don't remember what it says. And I think the Shulchan Aruch might already record it, unless the Shulchan Aruch is still the old practice, and the Mishnah Berurah is the one who says. I don't remember. I have to go back and look. Yeah. I don't remember. Okay.
I'm trying to understand. But then if someone just doesn't bench and they're just sitting there quietly, they're fine.
Correct. If they pay attention to them, and assuming that the mezamein benches out loud. I usually when I'm mezamein, most of the time, I will actually say it whole thing out loud for anybody who might be relying upon that. But I think most people are benching on their own. But yes, in order for it to work, the mezamein has to say it all out loud.
Just to add on to that. Why do people have to pay attention? If it's a group,
You still have to have an effect in mind to be yotze. You have to be present, right? I don't think anybody would say that if I'm making a bracha, if you're in the other room, that's your bracha. So you have to be connected in some way. I think that's the assumption. You have to hear everything.
You're not in the hetseva anymore.
You mean what's that?
In the other room, you're not in the group anymore.
Yeah, but you still have an. Okay, but I would still say again, you may not have kavana for every word, but you have to hear every word. Otherwise, you might say the same thing. If you're not hearing the benching, it's like the tzirif is broken.
Yeah.
Okay. So now the question is, though, what about if this morning, let's say, people come together for the shiur. So something happened. The bagels are no more. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Okay. But they used to be bagels. So let's say, and this would happen. I wasn't thinking about the halacha. This would happen. And a few people washed. So at the end of shiur, some people would say, that how many people washed? Can we make a Zimun? Right? I don't think it ever got to 10, but it might have probably gotten to 3 many occasions. It only got to 3. So the question is, was that proper? Should they have made a Zimun? Because this was not nezo v'necho lachma b'duch plan. People didn't come to I know that way they put out food to attract the Jews. I get that. But so we understand. But listen, that's the theme. That's every Jewish holiday. They tried to kill us. God saved us. Let's eat. So what you know? So bottom line is that people don't come to the shir for the food. Maybe it's a little extra incentive, but that's not why you're coming. Nobody certainly would admit to that. So we'll
living proof.
We'll take it. Yes, correct. And it's not, you know.
It's smaller.
So yeah, but that's only because there's a Zoom option. Yeah, there's because there's a Zoom option. Okay, so the question is, should they make a Zimun or not? Now, it's not Nezel v'necho lachma b'duch plan, and it's not Hasebu. We don't have furniture to recline on. So it would seem, at least from the Gemara, that you should not make a Zimun.
But no one
However,
no, no one in any scenario.
Well, remember, most scenarios, when it's in your Friday night meal in your
white cafeteria.
How do you know what they do today? Maybe the Bachrim are really, they're really sharp. They're holding, as they say. So, well, we had a case where I ruled against the Zima, not here, in Washington. And you'll see why in a second, but first thing, it was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem case in YU, because apparently the parking lot was essentially spotless after we left at the park and ride. Despite that, all the food that had been eaten there, they cleaned up everything. And the people apparently, the people who worked there said they were just surprised at how clean the place was. And it wasn't only YU buses, but it was mostly YU buses, I think. But the guy stood around in front of the bus, you know, eating,
standing around
and eating, and I got confirmation from a slightly more senior colleague of mine who was on my bus, but he didn't disagree. I told the guys, there's no Zimun, because you stood. And we're going to see, according to Tosfos, you at least have to sit. Mm-hmm. And you have to probably sit maybe around the table or something in a way that you'd be looking at each other, that you're a group. But there, if you're standing, no. Standing, period, there is no Zimun whatsoever.
Kiddush.
What? If the same thing will come up here at Kiddush. Right? It's one thing to wash and bench yourself, but if you want to make a Zimun, if you don't sit down at one of the, I don't know if they have tables, if you don't sit down with other people to eat, there is no Zimun.
Why?
You have,
why do you have to sit?
Let's read Tosfos. It makes a Tiruf, yes. Okay. Isaac, you understand the difference between people standing around and sitting. So Tosfos writes the following. The bottom Tosfos, Amen Beis, Amen Aleph. Hesebu echan mevarech lekulam. Va'anu ein lanu heseba.
Where
did you go? Turn back the page where the Mishnah is. Tosfos says, the bottom Tosfos, Anu ein lanu heseba ela bepas bilvad. The only thing that we have heseba for, one second, is by bread. Upas mahani afilu below heseba. There's a funny sentence, but Tosfos says, for us, when we eat bread, you can do it even without heseba. Didafka ledidhush hayu ochlin beseba hayu tzrichin heseba. They used to eat with heseba when it was really a meal people gathered together. Therefore, they required heseba. Ella aavol yeshiva shalanu have kriyus lanu keheseba didhu. For us, sitting is the same type of kriyus, of being fixed, being a meal, being joined, as heseba was for them. Shehem hayu regilim kol echad lahasev al mitaso v'al shulchano. They used to have haseba. They would lie on a bed, and this goes back to a Shabbos Haggadah drasha I gave many years ago. Some people, not here, some people have challenged me on this. It's quite clear. Haseba means reclining on a bed. Sitting in a chair, leaning on the armrest at best, or slouching one way, is not called haseba. Haseba is, it doesn't have to be a bed like if you go into the store to get a bed. It can be a couch, it can be a stool, but haseba means on your side where you prop yourself up. So Tosfos says we don't do that anymore, which is why, by the way, Pesach night, most of the world, well, they think they're leaning, not leaning, but they're yotze anyway because the Rav Yah is really correct. The Rav Yah is the one who said that you don't need to do haseba on Lo Pesach, because we don't do Haseba anymore. So, the Rav Yah is not really accepted by the Shulchan Aruch, but I argue that Klal Yisrael has accepted the Rav Yah, because if you look today, almost nobody, I know yours truly and a few others may, you know, in the right circumstances, we recline on couches, but most people don't, and I'm not going to tell you that most people aren't Yotze Leil HaSeder. They are Yotze, because Klal Yisrael has in effect ruled like the Rav Yah. You look at the Mishnah Berurah, he's still talking about the Haseba. Yeah. On some type of bed, a couch, or something like that. But people somehow stopped doing it. I don't know when. But it means we're holding like the Rav Yah. So he says, Aval achshav kulanu ochlim al shulchan echad. We eat on one table. Uchshanu ochlim yachad haynu kvi usenu. When we eat together, that is our kvius. V'hacha d'k'amar hayu yoshvim. Okay, so that's the end of this part.
So if you're at an event where there are multiple tables, are you
right.
considered...
So I think it depends where. I think that if you were at a smorgasbord type thing, I think each table is its own unit. I think if you are at a wedding, so there I think that the reason why we're...
Or in your house,
we are all one party, it's just that we don't have a table that's big enough to hold everybody. It's just not, you know, it's not viable. But fundamentally, that is the way we join together. Right, so Shulchan Echad, for most gatherings, Shulchan Echad. But there might be circumstances, I think you could say that even there's more than one shulchan, it depends on the circumstances, might be still one gathering. Now Tosfos points out a separate point. He says, V'hachad v'ka'amar hayu yoshvim, B'gemara mashma, the whole Mishnah is mashma, the mayri bein b'birchas hamotzi, bein b'birchas hamatzon. It sounds like it's talking about the bracha before and the bracha after. I mean, hamotzi and birchas hamatzon. Now, birchas hamatzon is ke'uv the talmidah to Rav. The story of Rav's talmidim, they sat down, they ate. Now they needed to know, it sounds like the mayri was the zimur, it was afterwards. So you see that the whole discussion in the Mishnah relates to the bracha acharona, the birchas hamatzon. And then he says, but birchas hamotzi, it's going to be later on, I'm going to have to explain that, me'ahi the pligi b'yayini b'y haseba. And Daphne Gimel and Aleph, we haven't read it yet, we're going to now move, the Mishnah was only talking about bread. We're now going to move to talking about wine, and then by implication, depending on what the Gemara says, we'll determine what is the status of all other foods. Let's say we all came to, we're going healthy, so we no longer have bread or donuts or orange juice. Instead, we're going to put apples in the middle of the table. And everyone says, oh, the apples are great. And then Lenny will be the executive director, will decide he's going to make the bracha on the apple. For everybody will grab their apple. Can Lenny make one bracha for everybody? Now, we don't have a seba. It's not neza manach maduchla. Now, all right, we're sitting. It's true. But let's say everybody was standing around and Lenny was going to make the apple. You don't have kvias. We'll talk about whether or not you don't need kvias or whether it doesn't even help having kvias. They're really two extremes, right? Bread, you require kvias and kvias works. Wine is going to be debated. All other foods, either you don't require kvias and still one person can make a bracha on the apple for everybody, or kvias doesn't even help you. Even if we said we're replacing the shear with an apple-eating activity, nonetheless, you would still could be that everybody would have to make their own bracha. So that the Gemara will talk about. But Tosis points from that Gemara's discussion of wine, and you know that it's talking about bracha rishona. He doesn't explain why, but I'll tell you why. Because we say that there's no such thing as zimun for peiros. Zimun is only on bread. So if three people came together and they were koveah, whoever, whatever, let's say one bracha rishona, one bar praise sufficed for everybody, or wine. Wine's the better example because I think we're going to paskin that wine requires kavias, but one person can make a bracha for everybody. Everybody agrees. Let me put it this way. Everybody, according to both versions in the Gemara, wine, kvias will certainly work for you. You may or may not need kvias, but wine, if you gather together to drink wine, one person makes a bracha. Except for nobody's drinking that.
But they're drinking, some people are drinking.
If they're drinking, yes, if they're drinking, correct. Yes, fine, I'll accept that.
If the rabbi makes kiddush and shul, right. Somebody makes kiddush and shul,
right.
Do you have to make another bracha on the wine? I'm guessing you don't have to make a bracha.
Let's put that aside for now. Okay. But give me a little time to do it. You think about the kiddush.
I'm thinking about kiddush, and then would you have to also make a shahako? Because no one's going to repair gethen would be...
Yeah, so let's wait till we get to the next one. I can push that off just for now. Okay. Fine. The first question you have to ask is, does it help at all, whether it's kiddush b'malkum suda? But there's only one correct answer I can give in this context, which it has to work somehow. So,
well, we've talked about that.
Right.
We talked about even doing it Friday night.
No. I mean kiddush b'malkum suda.
Right, so the building, you're saying, versus...
The question is, how do you define, yes. Mecheder lecheder, we'll talk about that.
Rabbi Soloveitchik talked about that years ago, about when you go across the street.
Right, that's a big, much bigger jump.
Yeah, you have to make kiddush again.
Again, right, but within room that's next door, probably with Das, that
and
probably...
I think I asked you about the roof, even.
Okay.
When you had kiddush on the roof.
What did I say?
During COVID. I think you said it was okay.
Okay, fine. Maybe I said it was okay. Fine. So this is the point. The Tosis is proof. From the fact that the Gemara discusses wine, we can't be talking about the bracha afterwards because there's no zimun l'peiros. Even if one person can make a bar priya gafen for everybody, everybody has to make their own, assuming they know how, everybody has to make their own bracha achrona. Everybody has to make their own bracha achrona. So therefore, because there's no zimun l'peiros. Now, if someone doesn't know how, I can use Shemei HaKona. But in principle, everybody makes their own bracha. Which is why it's not relevant to this. This Gemara is talking about one person making the bracha, and it's everybody's bracha. So Tosa says, if the Gemara is talking about wine on Daphne Gimel Mar Aleph, that has to be the bracha Rishona, because by bracha Chorona, there is no such thing as Zeman. By bracha Chorona, at best, it's Shomea Kaona, that someone is Yotzi, because he heard me make my bracha, he can piggyback on that, but it's not his bracha. So then Tosa says, Umihu b'nei Adam ha'ochlim baderech l'holchim, v'lo yashvu, if they're traveling on the way, and they don't sit down, kol echad mevarech le'atzmo. Everyone has to make a bracha for themselves. So the way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, let me read to you the passage in Shulchan Aruch. Kuf Samach Zayin, Sif Yud Aleph. Well, that would be sitting. Yeah, I think that would qualify. They don't happen to have a shulchan, let's say. Kuf Samach Galad, Samach Zion Sif.
Where did you find that?
If you look on the letter, Josh, second line from the bottom of the Gemara, you see the word HaYoshvin with a kaf on it?
So we don't have that.
Well, no, you must have it. Hold on.
You have it right here.
Oh, I was looking in the...
See,
sorry,
that cuff?
I was looking over here.
Now, look to the top left. Yeah. Look to the top left. Yeah. You see Emish Brenner Mitzvah. Now, go to the bottom one. You see... Don't look at the first letter. That's a count for the whole parak. It's the bottom one on this section, Kuf Tezayin, is the 116th halachic citation in the sixth parak. You see the kuf next to it? That's the one you're looking for.
Yeah.
It tells you, Maimoni Perak, that's a Rambam, Perak Aleph, Mechos Brachas Halacha Yubayz, the Smag, the Sefer Mitzvah Gedolos, Shum, whatever Shum, you have to look earlier, where the last time you go up in the notes where you quoted the Smag last, Tur B'Shulchan Aruch, Oruchayim, there are two citations. Simon Kuf Samach Zayin Sif Yud Aleph, the Simon Resh Yud Gimel Sif Aleph. So that's in the back. You don't have in the back. I have the expanded Ein Mishpat. It's called the Ein Mishpat Amalek because this is called the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, where they copied out all the halachos. So what it says in the Shulchan Aruch is that it says the following. If there were two people or more, Echad Mevarech L'chulam, one person makes the bracha for everybody, V'davka Hesebu, Shehu Derech Kevan has to be hit with a seva, which is kmius. O, and the Ramah adds in parentheses, O balabais and b'nei beso dabe kesevu. And even before Tosus's novel Chiddush about sitting, even when you require a seva, a balabais, that is called kmius. And then, avalam hayu yoshrim below haseva, if they were sitting without doing a seva, kevan she'enam nikvan yachad, it's not kmius, kol echad barach le'atzmo. He's still working, the Mechaber talking at the end of the Gemara. He's going to get to Tosus. And then he says, but v'im amru nochal kano b'makom ploni, if that's nezal v'nechal lachma b'duch plan, kevan shehichinu makom la'achilasan, they set a place, they prepared a place for their eating, they designated, have a keva, ha'fi l'bolo ha'seba. That's still called keva, even though they're not reclining on beds. But then he says, v'ha'idana, but today, she'enanu regilin b'ha'seba, yeshiva didan b'shulchan echad, o b'lo shulchan b'mapa achas, a picnic cloth, a picnic blanket, so that is considered have a kvius. Va'afilu lebnei chabura keheseba didhu dami. So that is considered heseba. Ulididan, afilu kavu makom achiyasan. O balabais and bnei beso, even if you set a place to eat, or balabais with his members of his house, lo mahani ela imkein yashvu b'shulchan echad o b'mapa achas. So if you're standing around, you're not sitting around a table or a picnic cloth, picnic blanket, so that's not called kvius, even for us, where we don't need a seva. So that's why, when they were standing outside the bus, I said, this is not kvius, everybody benches on their own. Whereas...
It's very relevant today, because a lot of dinners, let's say, even like organizational
correct.
Dinners, don't have a meal anymore.
Correct. So if you do not sit down
together.
At a table, or, I mean, I don't think you're going to sit on the floor right. At these things, then there is no zimun. That's correct. Yeah. There you go. That is the halacha. Okay, so that is the...
I'm guessing many people are... not aware of that.
Yes. If you had asked me that question 2 years ago, I must have said, yeah. I might have had a vague idea.
Like, the bus is a little bit, you know, like everybody's kind of, every man for himself outside a bus.
Right.
But when you're in an event together, right, you would presume that you are a unit.
Correct. But the Shulchan Aruch is very clear.
Very clear.
Doesn't matter if you said, let's go to this dinner and eat
right.
there.
Yeah, I mean, you're eating the meal at the same time. You're eating this like a lot of places, right? You have the meal, you have the program, then you have dessert somewhere. You're also standing around.
Right, if you're just standing around, right. If you don't sit down.
If you don't sit down and you're not a group, you cannot bench together.
Correct.
So a buffet dinner here in 2 weeks, so Friday night.
Yes. Is it 2 weeks or 3 weeks?
December 15th.
Ah, 3 weeks. Yeah. I know, it's for beer then.
I know. You're
I'm so honored they're throwing me a buffet dinner. No,
so we would have to bench together.
So if you take your food, I assume if people will take food and sit down at tables.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, but and I think this is a case where you've retired the whole room. And everybody's understood. It's nasal and nasal locked with a plum, but you don't have one table because it's very inefficient. It would have to be a very, very large room, and you couldn't reach the stuff in the middle of the table, so... Yeah, very, very hard. So, or one very, very long table. We have to shout to the other end. Okay.
So we're talking also about the Bracha Rishona here, right?
Right. So both Bracha Rishona and Bracha Chorona are the same thing.
So when we make a Bracha Rishona, one person for everybody, is that accomplishing the same...
You're talking about Hamotzi.
Hamotzi. is that accomplishing the same mitzvah of Zimun?
There's no additional bracha there. In other words, there seems to be some idea that there's a hiddur it's something greater about the bracha when I make it, and it's all of our brachas. But what will happen at the dinner Friday night, most people are going to make donut motzi, but there's a reason for that, because unless everybody starts together, then each person will make their own hamotzi, but there's still kriyas, which means for the birchas hamazon, right? There is also, as far as I know, no chiyuv to have one person make the bracha. There's no chiyuv to have this one bracha. Whereas once you had kriyas and you ate together, you're not allowed to separate until you mizame. But there, the zimun is actually an additional bracha. Right? There's something very different about the bracha.
From the Mishnah, there might be a chiyuv because it says echad mevarach
l'kulam. So you could also read that the way it's often read. If you look at the Rambam's formulation, it means one person can make the bracha lechatchil. It means one person can make the bracha for all of them. Now, yes. And it will be, I think, everybody's bracha. As opposed to, if it says, it doesn't mean one person, I think it's explicit, that you can be yotze with someone else's bracha, but you're being yotze with their bracha. Right. So ideally, I would say the following. Ideally, you're supposed to make your own bracha. When you have a zimun, or when you have this situation before, it is your bracha, even though someone else is saying it.
So wait, you're saying ideally you should make your own bracha.
Ideally, it should be your.
So kiddush.
Ideally, it should be your own bracha. In quotes.
Okay, got it. Not your own bracha.
Yeah. Okay, you could say it that way. So to be my own bracha means I either have to utter it, or even if you're speaking it, it has to be my bracha.
Right.
The only way that you're speaking it can be my bracha is if we have kiddush. Now, but theoretically, even if we have kriyas, even if we're set, I can make my own bracha. That is what will happen if only because people aren't necessarily going to sit down at the same time. Right, logistics. So I don't, this is one of the issues that's been gnawing at me. Bracha she'in tzricha, I think would be, I don't think if I want to make my own bracha, it's a bracha she'in tzricha. I would say the following. I don't know if it can be a bracha she'in tzricha, because whose bracha is the bracha she'in tzricha? See, normally, if I could have made one bracha for two foods, and then I do something artificially to split it up, so I have made a bracha shein tzricha. But if I'm eating, and you're eating, and he's eating, and she's eating, so whose bracha is the bracha shein tzricha? I don't know if we would call that a bracha shein tzricha. That's why I think that the idea of echad mevarech l'chulam 8 means it's mota l'chatchila. Now, again, unlike birchas hamazon, the zimun, which is a chiyuv, I don't think there's a chiyuv here. There might be something mehudar of berov hamhadras melech. I don't know. So I haven't seen anybody talk about
you're
it.
You're arguing for even, obviously kiddush is easy.
Right.
Because you are coming together as a group.
Right.
But hamotzi is more complicated in general, but it would still be ideal.
It might be to everybody kind of.
We do it at a single table.
Right. Well, correct. At a single, it's not viable at multiple tables, but at a single table, it would make more sense if everybody was sitting down and one person would make the bracha for all. And a Shabbos table. And a regular Shabbos table, yes.
There's a lot of deciding on whether you need to or not. It seems like there's a lot on the line. And whether you should make one hamotzi for everybody or whether
I don't know that there's a lot on the line.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody can. Realistically, people are not going to get started.
Everybody make a bracha for themselves, and it's not a big deal. Like, why is everybody so sort of asking about it? It's just everybody. If you're nervous about it, just make your own hamotzi.
Okay, I would agree. I don't think logistically it's likely that it's usually chaotic, and getting to your table is chaotic, and so on.
Yeah.
So people, listen. What will normally happen is couples, will end up, assuming if the husband is making hamotzi, make hamotzi for his wife, or if his kids are there, that's typically what will happen. But
the wife also make hamotzi.
She could, yes. Yes. I would say the word KJ here. We're progressive. So, no, I'll feed then you can. What? That's correct. Okay.
And this changing of what Haseba means in the Mishnah, it's a big chiddush, right? I mean, presumably the Tanaim were eating also not on couches every single time they ate, right? So it means that that they're saying here that back then
they didn't make a mistake. They didn't make a zimun.
No, I want to hold on. I'm going to push back a little bit. No. I'm going to push back on this a little bit. Okay. Remember, we're not talking about a balabais eating with his family members.
Okay.
We're talking about eating with other people, which means you have some type of a more public suda. It is conceivable that typically those things involve taseba.
Right.
in that period.
But what did they do in their when they were home, right?
They might have sat on chairs, and that's fine, but you don't need it. Even up, even for the Mishnah, the Bala Bayis in his house is light. When you saw the Mechaber quote it, and Tosus said it also. Before Tosus came on to the Chiddush of, oh, but for us, sitting is like a saber for them, Tosus said the Bala Bayis Bebeso, that's called Kiyos. But it's, again, you see,
we have three categories, basically.
But if I go to someone else's house.
What's that, Larry?
We have three categories. We have home, Haseba, and Yeshiva.
Well, yes, but we have one category. It's called Kiyas. What the Gemara established with Nezel, Vinecho, Lachma, Beduch Plan, is that Haseba is not an absolute requirement. Haseba is more of a simen, not a Siba. Whereas, and you know that from Mezo Nach Duflan is a statement, let's be Koveya there. So why, how does Tosos know that the Balabais at his table is like that? Because that's exactly what it is. Everybody get in your seats, let's eat. So that's all before Tosos now says, but today we never do a save at all. And therefore for us, if we were to sit around at a banquet, it would be in Yeshiva, and therefore that has the same thing as a save. You don't need it for your regular Shabbos table with your family. You need it when you have a communal, when you have a more communal meal.
And where did we get that? I mean, that's a big change in the halakha, right? I mean, Tosfos is saying here that yeshiva nowadays is the same as the seba. That's, I would have thought that there would have been some evidence that that's what haseba was trying to establish with kviyas. So it doesn't say kviyas in the Mishnah.
Well, the Mishnah distinguishes between Haseba and Yeshiva. We don't know we could guess what it is. When the Gemara says, and they have a brisa, and they establish that Nezel Nachma Necholat B'Duplan is like Haseba, you understand now it's about Kvias.
So that's really the brisa that allowed Tosfos to make the
correct. Well, correct. It is the brisa establishes that it's not a halachma Moshim Sinai, that you must be on a bed. It's what I said earlier also, it doesn't make sense that it has to be a halachma Moshim Sinai, because they didn't do a seba before, probably before the Roman period. It's probably not how they ate, so.
Can I go back to the Seder?
Sure.
If we didn't lean at all.
Right.
But we're not leaning properly.
Right.
We'd be losing something in terms of,
okay.
In other words.
Listen, I'm just not willing to say, it's not a seba, and I'm not willing to say that Klal Yisrael is not Yotze. I think you are Yotze,
right.
And therefore.
But otherwise, if no one did it, right, it would.
You would just be missing his seba, as it does for all Zimun. Yes,
yeah.
It gets lost because it's bizarre, right? Doing his seba today is mostly bizarre.
Right, so you can, but the Seder is a place for bizarre, right? To ask questions.
Yeah, listen, I my crazy me, we do this.
Right. I know you were away a couple of years ago for Pesach.
So we did last year. We were away. I didn't do a save because it wasn't viable.
Exactly.
Right. So
you didn't link it.
I don't think I linked at all.
Okay.
So
did you do it in the Manishtana? Did you skip that?
But the Haseba in the Seder.
So by the way, hold on one second. So Haseba was not one of the original ones.
I know, but
it was only added later. I forget. There were originally, I forgot what it was. The carbon pesach tzli. Versus that, it was the matzah, and it was shabcholas anu matilim pamachas. Not inu matilim pamachas. That's a Babylonian change. In Eretz Yisrael, they always used to have one dip. So shabcholas anu matilim pamachas la'azesh tepamim. So we dropped the tzli, the roasted meat part. We added in the mara. We added in the haseba, and we changed the nusach of matilim.
You're right. You get rid of it. No.
Yeah. Okay. but the problem is I only know the Manishtan and Yiddish if it's the four questions. Chatech fill pregnant for your kashes, for dry kashes.
And as in the way they did it, it's chayv laharot the dasmal.
That's only the Temani Nusach, the correct Nusach. I think it's nice. I do a seva. I think it's nice to do a seva. A real seva. I think it's nice. It's just not, you know, when you have a small family, it's very practical. You can do it in large family, but you have to get small tables, right? I took a piece of plywood and had a cedar post cut into four and like, you know, a foot and a half off the floor, and it fits perfectly.
You have a table for yourself.
We have a full table for everybody. But if you're going to have a lot of people
right,
in the room, then everybody has to have their own table. So it's just a little more complicated. It can be done, but...
So then, when you eat...
I eat, we just, first thing, we have a very small meal. But I eat my soup with the chicken, chicken dumplings and the matzo balls. I just eat with a seba. I just lie in the couch and eat, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I'm sorry that we can't take a video of it, but... all right.
You can do it before.
Model
exactly.
Okay. Good. All right. So we'll stop here. Next week we resume talking about tzira for wine and for other foods.